Psalm 93. I wish I could preach this as it ought to be preached. I titled this message tonight, A Celebration of the Reign of Jesus Christ. When I read this is the thought that came to me. This is a celebration of the reign of our Lord. I don't know that anything gives me more comfort than to know that the Lord Jesus Christ right now is reigning. You know, I try from time to time when I'm alone and thinking upon the scriptures, thinking upon the Lord. I try to imagine Him seated on a throne, ruling and reigning over the universe. I mean, those who believe and those who don't believe. You know that everybody's doing His will. We want to do His will, but even those who don't want to are doing His will. He's the sovereign. Jesus Christ is the sovereign, and this is His world. All things were made by Him and for Him. There's nothing made that He didn't make it. There's nothing exists that Jesus Christ right now is not ruling over. I mean, He lifts up leaders. And He brings them down. He may put a leader in position as a judgment on a nation, or He'll take him down. It's in His hands. And that gives me peace. I cannot tell you the peace and the quietness that I have knowing that my Lord is King. I know we've lost a sense of what a king really is in this country since we elect presidents. But my Lord is King. And what He says goes. What He says, and when He commands it, it happens. It happens. Now the church as a whole, as well as every member of the church, has great reason to celebrate. We have great reason here tonight to rejoice in our King. We have a King. I love that. We have a King. And it's the God of heaven and earth is our King. Isn't that something? Israel of old, they wanted a king like the other nations. I thank God we have a king that's not like the other nations. We have one that is righteous. His scepter is a scepter of righteousness. He rules with equity. That's our King. That's our King. We have the King of kings. He's not a king among kings. Jesus Christ is not a king among kings. He is the King of kings and He is the Lord of lords. Every king that has ever been on this earth, every lord that's ever been on this earth will answer to this one when it's over. They will answer to this one. You know, it's written in the scriptures, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of Him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. Thy Lord reigneth. Thy King reigneth. Thy Lord, Thy King, and Thy God are one person, Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. And living in an evil world, this world is evil. It is evil. To the core. I didn't see that when I was young. It was like a playground. I saw the world as a playground when I was young. But now I see it for what it is. And I thank God that He's given me and He's given some of you eyes to see this world for what it is. It's evil. It's against everything that God is. It's against when Jesus Christ, the King of Glory, came into this world, the world, the religious world and the Gentile world said, crucify Him. We have no king but who? Caesar. I thank God that I have a king that's not Caesar, but the King of Glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. And living in an evil world, this is good news. Oh, he says here, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publishes peace. He brings good tidings of good. Thy God, thy King reigneth. That's good news. Living in an evil world. Can you imagine what it would be like living in this world if Jesus Christ did not have all power and all authority over everything? If he did not rule and reign over all things, why, the planets wouldn't even stay in orbit. He has hung the world upon nothing but his word. This world, he says, is established. And you know what it's established on? His word. That's it. There's no strings attached. It's just out there in space. But it's out there in space all these thousands of years. In the same, it rotates the same. The seasons come around the same. The four seasons. The sun comes up the same. All the time. We set our clocks by it. And that's because there's one who has the power and the authority to establish it just by his word. Where the word, the scripture says, where the word of a king is, there's what? Power. Power. Now, this psalm is about the reign and the rule of Jesus Christ. He is the supreme authority. It says in verse 1, the Lord reigneth. That's absolute. That is an absolute statement. The Lord reigneth. That means right now. And when you and I are gone, he'll still be reigning right now. He'll always be right now. His reign never ceases. The Lord, Jehovah. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the true Jehovah. He is truly God Jehovah. I want you to turn over to Revelation chapter 19. It says in verse, I was trying to decide which one to read. I'm going to just start at verse 1. I'm going to read down through verse 6. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, amen, alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Who is that? Who is that? That's Jesus Christ. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this is the controversy with lost men and devils. And who's going to reign? It's not a controversy in heaven. God's not going to break a sweat over the tumult of men, the hatred of men and devils. But there's a controversy among men on who's going to reign. That's why they hate the sovereignty of God in salvation, because it gives him the right, the power to rule and reign over who's going to be saved. You know, he's going to save whom he will. God's going to save whom he will. And that makes men mad. I've had men mad. I mean, I've had them fight mad. Telling them that the Lord saves whom he will. And all I did was quote the scriptures, isn't it? I didn't make that up. Our God is sovereign. And he's going to save whom he will. Because if he didn't, nobody would be saved. No one would be saved if he didn't. Who's going to reign? I'll tell you who's going to reign. This matter was settled a long time ago. This matter of who's going to reign was settled before creation. God settled this a long time ago. He settled it that Jesus Christ is the reigning king, and he's going to be the reigning king from everlasting to everlasting. There's never a time he didn't reign. Never a time. In fact, when he came into the world, the angel, shepherds came, the wise men came, and they said, "Where is he that is born king?" He didn't wait for someone to die and become a king, you know, like the princes do. They have to wait for their father to die, the king to die, then they get a step up. He did not have to wait for someone to die. He was born king of the Jews. Because God made him king before creation. And he reigns now. He's seated on the throne right now. Boy, that just... I'd like to shout that to the world. He reigns right now. Right now, he's subduing. Right now. Whatever went on today went on by the authority and power of Jesus Christ, and he is day by day subduing all power and all authority. He's subduing it. You can read that over in 1 Corinthians 15. Then comes the end, and he's going to deliver up the kingdom after he's put down all rule and all authority. He's subdued it all. It's all in his hands. It's all turned over to him. He's the reigning king right now. And that being so, think how great our king is. Think how great our king must be to rule all the universe. I mean, it's difficult to find a man that can rule a community. He rules the universe. The stars in their orbit, the trillions of stars that are in their orbit, he rules them. He rules all men. All people, all nations. He rules all angels, good and bad. He rules them. Satan does what he wills, what our king wills. Satan doesn't do what he will. He does what our king wills. You'd think he'd find that out by now, wouldn't you? I mean, he knows the scriptures. He knows who God is. God made him. He was a morning star. I mean, and yet all these thousands of years later, this is how sin just takes away intelligence. It takes away any kind of intelligence. All these years, he hasn't figured out that he's doing the will of God. That's how dumb sin makes us. But he rules. He rules over the universe. He rules over all men. He rules over the angels, good and bad. He rules over everything and everyone right now. How great must a king be? How great must our king be that's able to do that? And not only how great must he be, but how wise must he be to rule over all this and make it work in such harmony to bring about his eternal purpose? I thought about that today. How wise. How wise. He's the wisdom of God. He's the wisdom of God. You know, he knows all things. Our king, listen, our king knows all things. He's not trying to figure out what to do tomorrow and the things that are going on in this world. He's not trying to figure out how to juggle these things around or what to. He's not figuring out anything. He's sitting on the throne directing, orchestrating. That's what he's doing. That's what our king is doing. And I would to God that you and I would live in the reality of this. Day by day, live in the reality of this. It'll calm your fears if you'll live in the reality of it. If God will enable us to. And then his reign, the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ is such a glorious reign, I can't even begin to scratch the surface. I can't even begin to scratch the surface of his person, of his reign. You know, he took, was it Peter, James, and John upon the Mount of Transfiguration, and they saw him glistening right there before their eyes. He was just changed, and they just this brightness and this glistening and this glory that they saw. And they just got a glimpse. That's all they got. They were just like, they just got a glimpse through the lattice, so to speak. But his reign, listen, his reign is glorious. And notice his apparel. You know, you see a king coming in, especially back in that day. They wore the royal garb, man. I mean, they put on the purple and the robes. And I was watching with Vicky the movie the other night. And the king got on the horse and his robe. They had to pick it up so he can get on the horse. And then it covered the whole horse. It covered that whole horse. That's what they, when they come riding into town, they have to announce by just their appearance, I'm the king. They got a crown, they got put the robe, and they got all this paraphernalia that a king wears. But our king is clothed with majesty. That's what you say to a king, your majesty. A judge, your honor, and he's the judge. He's a king of honor and majesty. He's the judge and he's the king. He's clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength. That's his clothing. Majesty means this: supreme greatness or authority. It means sovereign. It means sovereign. Majesty means sovereign. It means a title used when speaking of or to a sovereign. When you're speaking to a sovereign, you don't say, hey, how you doing? You don't say that. You say, your majesty. Because you just might get your head cut off if you just get... Was it Esther? I believe it was Esther. She had to wait till the king held the scepter. That was his wife. She had to wait till the king held the scepter toward her so she could come in. You couldn't just walk in. Your majesty, his glory, the kings of the earth, they clothe themselves in material made by someone else. Not so our king. His apparel is not material, nor is it made by another. It is his by right and it is his by nature. I want you to listen to this. His attributes, I forgot to write down who said this, but his attributes are his royal robes. Isn't that something? That's a beautiful statement. His majesty and his strength is his character. And his attributes are his royal robes. Was it Hannah said, there is none holy as the Lord? That's his character. And his reign, listen, his reign is powerful. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself, wrapped himself in strength and power. This has to do with power. I thought of this. When men go to war, especially in that day, they gird on their sword. Nowadays, they put on the rifle and, their guns. And you can see them. They got all that stuff on them. You wonder how they can even walk. There's so much heavy stuff on them. They've got so much armory on them. Our Lord just is girded with power. And that was that something? Power. When he says go, you go. When he says come, you come. See, he's girded with power and strength. He's girded with strength. I thought about this. Our Lord only had the strength to withstand the temptation of Satan. Adam couldn't do it, but he had the strength to do it, the power to do it, the strength of character to do it. He had the strength and power to withstand wicked men. How many times they want to kill him? And they couldn't touch him. They couldn't touch him. When they came out to get him, he said, I am he, and they fell backwards. He has the strength and the power to bear our sins away. Can you imagine the load of the guilt of sin that he took for all his elect was all laid on him? Could anybody carry such a load? You know, if the Lord convicts us of just one sin, we can't hardly bear it, can we? If he really convicts you of even just one sin, it's hard to bear. Your conscience is just broken. Your heart's broken. And he took all our sins. And they were laid on him. And he carried them to the cross and put them away. He's the scapegoat. He's that fit man the scripture speaks of. I have laid help. God said, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. And that's him. That's the King of glory. Oh, he's clothed with strength. And he's girded himself. He's girded with it. It says in Psalm 62:11, God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Pilate said, don't you know I have the power to release you? I have the power to crucify you. He said, you don't have any power. You have no power at all except it be given you from above. You know, not one person on this earth, not one person on this earth, not one angel, not even the animals, nothing has power except he has given it to them. You and I don't have the power to get up out of that chair unless he gives it to you. Wouldn't to God we'd recognize that more than we do. The power to take the next breath is his. He gives us power to breathe. He gives our bodies power to do it. Adam was dead. He had no life in him until God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And then he became a living soul. Until then, he did not have the power of life. He didn't have it. He's dead. That body that was laying there was dead. It had no life in it until God breathed into it. Until he breathed into it. Our Lord girded with strength. He is the one who's able to bind the strong man of the house. Remember that one? The strong man of the house there in the Gospels. When the stronger man comes in, he binds him. The Lord Jesus Christ is able, two things, to bind Satan, to take his power away from you. Because you and I were under his power. We were under the power of darkness. We were under the power of darkness. He bound him. And then he binds that old nature. He's the only one, and I've learned this, and I believe every child of God in here has learned it, and learning it still. He's the only one who can bind that old nature. We still can't do it. We still can't do it. Something catches our eye and it just keeps on walking. We just keep on looking. He's the only one who can turn your head back and say, stop looking. And give you the power not to do it. He's the only one who can give you the power to quit thinking of something and change your thought. Because if he doesn't, that old nature is just going to keep on thinking in the wrong direction every time. It'll do it. He gives us the power to overcome. It says in Colossians 2:15, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." He rides into glory victorious, having overcome all principalities and powers. And listen, the Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also established. That word means, I looked it up, it means stable. This world's not unstable. It's talking about the earth that God created. It's not unstable. We're not going to destroy it. We're not going to destroy it. We would if we could. I'll tell you that. We would if we could, but you can't. You know why? Because he established it. Listen, that it cannot be removed. Here's what this means. It cannot waver. It cannot shake as a whole, the earth. It cannot be fallen into decay. Oh, we're going to do fossil fuels and I mean all this junk they're crying about. It can't do it. We can't destroy it because it's his. He won't allow it. That's what I'm saying. He will not allow it to happen. He'll stop it. The stability of the world depends on the stability of the one who made it. Listen to Hebrews 1:12. "And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up." When he's done with this now, when he's done with all this, he'll fold it all up and they'll be changed. "But thou art the same in thy years, and thy years shall not fail." It says in Hebrews 13:8, "Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever." You see, the stability of this earth depends on the stability of the one who made it. He said, "I'm the Lord. I change not." Aren't you glad of that? I mean, he's like that compass, that north compass. You know, we can go everywhere else, but this, he's right there. He's right there. He never even so much as cast a shadow by changing. No one can remove this world, for no one can remove the one who made it. Can't do it. And this, I want you to listen to this. The stability of the world ensures the fulfilling of his purpose. That's why he established. That's why it's established. That's why it's stable. Because if it were not, how would God fulfill his purpose? I thought about this. The great design of God is displayed on this earth. The great design of God is to glorify his Son, and it is displayed and fulfilled on this earth. And you and I are a part of it. We are a part of it. All that's made, all the universe, all the stars, there's this one thing called Earth. There's this one called Earth. And on this Earth, on this globe, God has purposed to create a people just like his Son. God has purposed to redeem a people and to put away sin. Whatever this mystery of, called the mystery of iniquity, whatever this great mystery is about sin and where it came from, I don't know. I'm not going to get into all that, but I know this. Here is where it's been dealt with and put away forever by the King of Glory. And it's been done right here on this earth. And he has established this earth that it cannot be moved because he's going to fulfill his purpose, his eternal purpose, in glorifying his Son and having a people and putting away sin. And it's going to happen right here on this earth. So it's established. Man thinks it just, boom, it came. All of a sudden it's into existence and we're living and, you know, we came from the monkeys and, you know, that's a real slam on monkeys, I tell you that. But we came from the, no. See how ignorant sin has made us? By nature, sin's made us that ignorant. No. God's going to fulfill His purpose. That's why He established the earth. And listen, and thy throne is established. There in verse 2. Am I only on verse 2? Oh my goodness. I'll get through this. We see here that His reign's eternal. Thy throne is established or firm. It's firm. It's solid. Unmovable. Thrones on this earth come and thrones go, but not His. Not His. It's firm, established of old. Thou art from everlasting, meaning prepared from eternity. This has been prepared from eternity. Go all the way back to eternity. You can't do it. There's no back to it. There's no back to eternity, and there's no forward to eternity. Eternity is just eternity. It's timeless. There's no time there. That's why with God, everything is present. The end and the beginning are present with God. His throne is, it tells us here, His throne is no upstart throne. He didn't just go back to glory 2,000 years ago. Now He's on the throne. He's been on the throne forever. He said it's from everlasting. John Gill said this: as a divine person, the Son of God, His eternal existence as God is the reason for the establishment of His throne of old. Oh, thy throne is established. Thy throne, over in Hebrews, look over in Hebrews chapter 1. And in verse 7, and of the angels He saith, who maketh His angels spirits and His ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son He saith, now listen what He calls His Son when He speaks to His Son. Thy throne, O God. He's calling the Son God because He is. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. But thy throne, O God, is forever. It's forever. It always has been, always is, and always will be. And then in verse 3, look here. We see the reigning power of the Lord Jesus Christ. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. This has to do with, mostly here, with the tumult and rage of men of this world against Him. As it says over there in Psalm 2, where let me read that. Over there in Psalm 2. I'm not going to try to quote it. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointing, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Oh, the floods have lifted up. They stood up against Him. They stood up against Him. And they stand up against His church even now. They stand up. You know, if you step back, you know, as believers, if you step back from the TV and you turn the news off, if you step back from that for a minute, you can see that the whole of the human race, the whole of every nation is set up against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Satan is the head of them. It is all to bring about or to bring down the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan is so subtle, he disguises so much of it. But I'm telling you, it's against the church. There's only a battle. The really true battle is a spiritual battle of Satan trying to destroy the people of God because he hates God. And he can bring down the glory of God. He wants to be God. He offered Christ the kingdom of the world, which were not his anyway. He's lying. He couldn't open his mouth and tell the truth. The kingdoms have always been the Lord's. I mean, he's never turned them over to Satan. He's always been the ruling, reigning king of heaven and earth. But the floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. They cried, away with him, crucify him. They lifted up their voice in rebellion. We will not have this man reign over us. Oh, yes, you will. Oh, you don't realize, but he's already reigning over you. That's the reason why you're going ahead and crucifying him. If Pilate had his way, he would have released him. But the Lord didn't allow it to happen, did he? The Lord Jesus Christ standing there didn't allow Pilate to release him. They didn't even realize he's controlling the whole thing. It was not a mob out of control. It was a mob under his control. And then we see this. We see his control over nature. This is my Father's world. It's his. It says the floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice, the floods lift up their waves. And one day, he stood up in a boat. In Mark 4:39, and he arose. I love that. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords rose up. He stood up, walked up on to the front of the boat, walks up there, and he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, as if he were speaking to one of us. That's right. Peace, be still. And you know what? And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. And you know, he can speak that same peace and calm to my heart and your heart. He can say, peace, be still. Whatever it is that's worrying you and worrying me, whatever's troubling us, he can say, peace, be still. And give us such quietness, such contentment. In the midst of the greatest storms, he can quiet us. We see in the flood of Noah's day, he caused it to rain, and then a year later, it dried up. It dried up. We see it in the parting of the Red Sea. What ailed thee, O sea? It says in the Psalm, what ailed thee? Why did you flee back? But I'll tell you why the sea fled back and split. He said to. The king spoke, and it did what he said. Just as he said, peace be still, he parted the Red Sea with his word. He sent a wind, he dried it up. They could walk. You know how muddy that would have been? But he dried that ground up, and they walked through on dry ground. We sit in the parting of Jordan so they could go over into Canaan. There is no obstacle that's in our way that the Lord can't remove if it be his will. That the King of glory can't speak and it be removed. If we could just learn that. And we see his power over Satan and devils. He says, come out. Come out of him. That legion, 2,000 devils and that one man. 2,000 devils. That's about what a legion was. And he says, come out of him. And they came out. And there's no comparison. There's no comparison to the mighty power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of glory. It says in verse 4, the Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Stand down at the ocean when the storm is about to come in, and them waves are crashing. Oh, He's our Lord is the Most High God. He is God over all, blessed forever. He is exalted high as the mediator. He's seated at God's right hand, and there's none mightier than Him. Are men making a great noise right now? You know, you see the war over there with Russia and Ukraine, and you see all the tumult that goes on in the world, what's going on in this country. He's mightier than all the noise that men can make and all the trouble they can make. He's mightier. He is mightier than all the noise that Satan and men can together make. He's mightier. And listen, our King can be taken at His word. You know, a person is only as good as their word. In verse 5, we see in verse 5 that He reigns in truth and holiness. This is how He reigns. Thy testimonies, Thy word, His testimonies throughout the whole Word of God that we have are very sure. His word is very stable. It's very sure. It's true. Holiness becometh thine house. God's word is reliable. Don't ever doubt God's word. The trouble's never with God's word. Whatever trouble I may have, it's with me. It's never with Him or His word. God's word is beyond all question. It's beyond all question. We can take Him at His word. Charles Spurgeon said, truth never changes. It never changes. Every promise in Jesus Christ is yea and amen. God will fulfill it. In God's word of the gospel, God's word of grace never leads to sin. Well, if I believe that, I'd live like I want to. Well, you a hypocrite? What are you living like? Henry said one time, he said, I'm living like I want to. I want to live for Christ. I want to live for His glory. I don't want to live like I used to. Holiness, listen, holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Where's the house of God? Right there, right in front of me. You are the house of God. And you in Christ, I know we don't feel this, but we're not talking about feelings. We're talking about what's real. In Christ, you're holy. You're holy. God is holy, and He demands the same in His house. He will not live in an unholy house. And when God gives that new creation, that new spirit, and that new creation, that new heart, it's holy. It's holy. It's a holy nature. It's created, Scripture says, in righteousness and true holiness. Sin had no place in God's house. Let me read to you 1 Peter and I close. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, your sons and daughters of the King, a holy nation. America is not a holy nation. It never has been a holy nation. No country on this earth has been a holy nation, but there is a holy nation on this earth. It's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a holy nation. A peculiar people, that is a purchased people. And listen, this is why you and I are here. What time we have left. Now listen, we have a little time left, some more than others, but we have some little time left because we're here right now. And here's the reason why. That you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So the reason you and I are here is to show forth the praises of God till we die. We're not here to get a good retirement going. We're not here to have a bigger house or a better this or a better that. We're here to praise God in whatever situation he puts us in. If he lets me live in a shack, so be it. I can show forth his praises from the shack. Or if he puts me in a mansion, I can show forth his praises from the mansion. But that's why I'm here. And that's why you're still here. All right.